started at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, September 13th, 2021. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. We have a roll call, please.
Yes. Millen?
Here.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes. Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Chacon?
Yes.
Here. Walter?
Yes. Here.
Shim?
Here.
Schumacher?
Here.
And Reichstag?
Here.
Thank you. Good.
And we have Judy from Friends, we have Daniel Chacon, and we have Shelley, our library director, as our visitors. And are there any amendments to the agenda? Nope. Okay. Do we have any presentations tonight? Doesn't look like it. And, okay, so if everybody could take a look at the minutes and... look at them, and then let's hopefully approve them.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Reichstag?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have any correspondence? Any public comment? Friends of the Library report.
First of all, thanks to the people who helped with the book sale this weekend. Darren was here with his wife and daughter, helping to set up, helping to clean up, and it was scattered from throughout the library. I don't know how you can explain what it was, but thank you very, very much for doing that. Your help was appreciated. This morning we had 13 people in person at our friends' meeting, and two people by way of Zoom. For the book sale, I will tell you that just for the weekend, we made $7,943, which is about $250 more than we've ever made before. But we have the sale going on in the hallway, which is the Summer's Inn book sale. Everything is half price. And so far, as of Saturday, we made $378. And so right now we are at $8,321, and maybe we'll make $3,500 by the end of the week. Friday's our last day, and we pack up on Saturday morning, and I already know that I'm taking four boxes to the jail, and there's a whole list of other places that are taking the books that are left over because we have so many. And this morning at the Friends meeting, we approved $1,600 for the library. Believe it or not, $200 for mulch. But that person didn't want any help spreading that mulch. There's no labor in that, just for the mulch. $500 for the Community Fest, which is October the 9th, and $200 of that is for the music for Hicks Brothers Band. And then $900, and were you going to talk about?
No, go ahead.
No, I just, well, Genevieve Hicks asked for $900 for accessibility, for an accessibility program for the library. I don't know what else to call it, because it has several different components. She wanted money for a larger keyboard and for the rollerball kind of mouse, you know, mm-hmm. control, so people who have difficulty with that. Caregiver kits for people who are caregivers of people who have dementia. And these have various activities. And she talked about all the things that are in that. And then also, which is so hard to find even for high schoolers, but print materials for adults who are developmentally challenged. So like the high-low books. They're high interest, but they're a lower reading level. So she is planning to get a number of things like that, which I think is really great for the library to have. So we were really excited about that. Also, we're looking into the cost for another outdoor trash container. The high schoolers have left the picnic bench. It used to be there. Yes, by the children's area. And we moved it to this corner, and they've left it there this time, because one other time they moved it back. But they leave their trash. You know, they tend to. So if we had a trash container there, and that would help a lot. So we have someone who's looking into that for Shelley, so we can find out about that. And then also, don't forget about the Community Fest. We need volunteers just to help guide people to different places. Shelley's done a really cool map, so you can see all the various stations. You're going to talk about all that probably. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I won't say anything more about that. The mini golf fundraiser is Sunday, February the 6th. It's later than normal. It's usually the last Sunday in January, but the Super Bowl is February 13th. It's the latest it's ever been. Something wow. about they added a game, or I don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. if you go online, you will see that it is the 13th of February. So the mini golf will be February the 6th, and we, of course, always need help with that activity. The Grassroots Committee reported that signs have been ordered. There was some kind of glitch with the first round, and that lots of people have submitted ideas for getting word out about the library in the community. And for membership information, we have two board members that are members of the Friends, and if you're not, you need to be. This is information about that. And Marlis, I'm passing. Oops, no, you're not. Brian is. Susan is. Would anyone else be interested? Okay. But all the information you need is here, and we'd be happy to have you join. We have more friends than we've ever had. Since March, April, we have gained 10 new friends. Some are individual memberships, some are family memberships, and just since the book sale, we have gained 2 new friends. So we're doing very well, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see. Report of the treasurer.
A couple things to point out. On page 8 of 11 of the check register, that Umbrella Technologies is for 2 quarters of the access control system. Thank you. I couldn't call that word. So it's, what is that, 480 a quarter. And then Shelly caught this on the budget report. A 9-4 bill was incorrectly quoted to publishing and advertising, and it should go to utilities. So it, our percentages look wonky. So she talked to the city about it, and they will get that corrected. So our utilities number should be higher, and our publishing and advertising should be over again. We got the state grant. I wanted to ask why, what's in dues and subscriptions for $3,973?
Those are...
Is it probably, like, we renew a bunch annually?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because somewhere in the back of my head, I remember that. And that is, we're doing really good. We're at a third of the year done, and we're tracking well. So,
okay. Just a little bit on MetroNet, since I'm going to go here, July, we had, it should have been $249.95, but we didn't have the electronic billing set up yet. I thought I had done it, and I didn't. But July and August was the full price, and we will get our e-rate reimbursement starting with, you know, September bill. September bill, we got the e-rate discount on the bill, so it'll be like $249 something. So July and August were full price, but we will get reimbursed for those for a year. Okay, starting with September, the bill is $149 with the rate discount.
Okay, that's on page four.
It's on page four.
Yeah. So it'll be $149?
It'll be 50% of $249.95.
Okay. Well, that's a significant.
Yeah.
That we pay our bills for accounts payable of $16,323.98 and for payroll of $38,823.57 for a total disbursement of $55,147.55.
Second. Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Reichstech?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. We have the report of the library.
Yep. First part of my report was about the book sale, which Judy covered already. So I just want to say thank you again, Judy, mm-hmm. and the friends for a successful sale. I love the idea of spreading out throughout the library. And we had a lot of people talk to us about that, saying that mm-hmm. they were happy with that too, as well. Thank us for doing that, spreading it out. Let's see, we made our debut at the Hometown Days Festival for the pop-up library. Unfortunately, we were in the back corner, and we got no traffic back there. The city, I know they were thinking that it would be a good thing to put us in with the family activities and that, but we couldn't compete with Anna and Elsa. They were by us. We couldn't compete. Mm-hmm. Jeanette was doing a story time, and then Anna and Elsa showed up, and the kids just went and then took off running. But it was good practice for us. It was good practice. Hopefully next year, I can ask the city to be in with the vendors and that in that main stretch. It's very popular through there. That might be a lot better for us. The community fest is going strong. Tiffany, Ryan's wife, is kind of spearheading that, and she has 7 vehicles that have committed for the touch a truck portion of that day. She has 3 to 4 food trucks that are committed as well so far. So that will be outside in the overflow parking lot of the library or of the school.
We're going to have different stations spread throughout the library to get people in to see the various things that the library has to offer. So we're going to be doing a celebrity story time in our quiet reading room upstairs. So I believe Tiffany has, she said she has the mayor committed to reading, the police chief, the sheriff, someone from the fire department. We have a local author that will be reading his book as well. And if I have to, I will too. We'll also have demonstrations on our 3D printing. The Yorkville High School Robotics Club will be here to do a demonstration. The Hicks Brothers Ukulele Band will be in this room performing at the end of the day. Darren has reached out to the YHS music department and have not heard back from him yet.
We can follow up with
We're hoping Anderson. To get some musical ensembles in here as well for the day before the Hicks Brothers. Let's see, we're going to have food for fines, so we'll have the Kendall County Food Pantry here collecting food for fines. And upstairs in our genealogy room, we'll have the Historic Society just showing people what we have available in our genealogy room. For the kids, we'll have henna tattoos and games and crafts. And let me see, the Merry Hearts Clowns are supposed to be here as well. Upstairs, we will have a station where we can show people how to utilize our e-resources. So downloading e-books, getting on our databases, using our app to place holds on books. And the Friends of the Library are also going to be sponsoring a few grand prize drawings. So we're still working out the details on how we'll collect those tickets, whether we do tickets or stamps or something like that. But the Friends have decided to donate prizes for that. So we hope it's a big success. And I'm looking for all kinds of volunteers. If you're interested, let me know, please. Appreciate it. Let's see, so we had over 80 people attend our Illinois Storm Chasers program, and it was that one week where we had really nasty weather.
It was perfect timing.
Yeah, it was great. And they even posted a few pictures on their Facebook page of our event, which was really neat to see.
That was a very, very good presentation. And to actually tailor it to the storms that had rolled through. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was perfect timing.
Right. It was good. Let's see. So tomorrow is a program, a date we will always remember. It's a historian, Jim Gibbons, will be here to talk about the events of 9/11 at 7 o'clock in the evening. We have a Zoom program about the twin disasters, the Chicago and Peshtigo fires that happened in 1871. Let's see here. So I have down here story time at the Farnsworth House. We just got an email today that they've canceled the family event at the Farnsworth House for October. So that's unfortunate. We are looking forward to doing that as well. And then we're partnering with the Garden Club and the Friends of the Library for a Tool Savvy program in October. Those are just some of the special programs that are coming up. I attended the Chamber Business Luncheon in August and the Reference Desk segment on WSPY and a Kendall County Historic Preservation Commission meeting at the Lions Farm. We had a blood drive in this room for the Chamber of Commerce, and let's see. As far as library operations go, we had our annual spring cooler inspection performed. I'm in the process of collecting some information on elevator proposals for maintenance. So I hope to have, I'm still waiting to hear on one so I can reach out for references, so I'm hoping to be able to report more next month on that. And then this big block is talking about our HVAC system. So We've had a couple times where they've had to come back. We had two areas upstairs where I had Ryan look at where it was just a really loud noise above the drop ceiling. And Ryan peeked his head up there, and it looked like the ductwork had come loose from one of the, what's it called? VAV box. So we had them come back twice, and he found one, he fixed one spot, and it was still really loud in another area. So we had him look at that, and there was another one that was off as well. So he fixed those two. But in the meantime, I went into the tech room, and there's water on the floor. So our tech room has a separate cooling and heating unit. And what happened was that the refrigerant was low and the pipe froze. So he had to turn it off and let it thaw. So he had to come back the next day and repair it. And he had to add refrigerant to it. And the refrigerant that they use is discontinued. So he found refrigerant.
Of course it is.
This is a small unit, so that's a good thing. But I asked, you know, so if this happens again, then what do we do? And he says you have to drain it and then add a different refrigerant to it.
So what is what are there compatible refrigerants for this, or is there a way to, or could that cause
like
or,
it, yeah, it's
could that cause damage?
You can't mix them. You'd have to drain it.
Right.
It's a different thing.
But there's always a recapture and all that stuff. If you have to, if there's, if you want to change it out, but if it's all leaked out, then there's nothing.
But yeah. But it's old enough that it's gonna. Mm-hmm. Going to lose over time no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, still going with this. On the 7th, I had to have them come back and restart the chiller, and the tech said that compressor number 2 sensor needs to be recalibrated, and in order to do that, he has to shut the unit down, so he suggested that he come back when we aren't in need of air conditioning. So it's running fine now, but he recommends that we recalibrate the sensor. And hopefully that will work. He actually said that he would have to contact tech support to help him do this. And if that doesn't work, then he said we may need to replace the head or the sensor itself. See here. And then there was a leak in the, when you walk in the back entrance of the library, there's radiators there. Mm-hmm. And staff noticed a leak on the floor. So I called. This was an easy fix. He pulled the face frame off and said it was a hose bib that wasn't fully shut. And the gasket had cracked, and so water was continuously just dripping ever so slightly. But he said there was 5 gallons of water in the base of that unit that he had to vacuum out. But that was a really quick fix. So I'll be getting some bills for those items. So I've reached
one question.
Yeah.
How hot did it get in the tech room? Did it get... Do we have a temperature sensor in there that we know what... Because if the refrigerant goes out, we have a chance, there's a possibility.
Right, I usually will turn the fans on and blow air-conditioned air into there. He ran the fan, so it kept it cool most of the day.
Okay.
While the lines thawed, but in the morning it was warm in there. But like I said, we left the fan running to blow cool air into there.
Okay.
So... I reached out to Cicerco. They're the ones that is going to be doing our BAC, Building Automation Control, to find out the ETA on the parts and that. And it says I haven't heard back from them, but I have. So So he says right now the ship date is early October, and we're waiting on a confirmed date. Let us know how you're doing and if your system is working or not. And so I told him, I said, it's working, but not optimally. So anything you can do to bump this along would be appreciative. So I hope you're back from here.
We haven't paid a cent yet, right?
No. The only thing, we've just purchased the computer.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's our problem.
Yeah, we haven't given them anything yet. I had Martin Plumbing come in, and we had two problem toilets upstairs that one kept running and running like it was down here. This one's fixed now. So now we have that problem upstairs. And he said next time we need him to come to make sure we have multiple that needs to be done and replaced because you pay for his time, regardless of how, you know, his hour that he's here. Mm-hmm. And he gets it done quick. And, yeah. So I appreciated him giving me that heads up. I had to purchase two hard drives for our server and two backup battery systems that Russ told me we were in need of. So I've done that. They've come in. I replaced the hard drive on our server. I did. Let's see. So with school starting, I reached out to the police department and asked about putting cones along the parking lot here to alleviate the kids from coming through here after school because it gets so busy, crazy around here. And the police said, sure, that's your prerogative to do. It's your lot. So then I called Tim Evans and asked if we could have some cones, and within an hour, Public Works had brought cones over for us. So that was very nice. Very nice of them. So every day, someone goes out and puts the cones up and waits for school and the traffic to die down and brings the cones back in. But it's just good safety. Good safety. Because it's just crazy around here after school. The parents are lined up all the way around and then out into the road for pickup.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So we conducted 7 interviews for part-time positions, and we are in the process of hiring 3 part-time people. So all we are waiting on is the fingerprints to clear from the state.
Which departments?
Pardon?
Which departments?
Actually, they're going to be trained in all departments. We started out with children's because they were in the most need for. And Friday, September 24th, will be closed for in-service day. And I believe...
How's the new hours?
The new hours, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, new hours are...
Do you see a lot more patients come in mm-hmm. and come later and earlier? Do you see a lot more patients come in with the longer hours?
Yeah, in the morning, they are here. Yeah, they're here at 9. Mm-hmm. That was my report.
Good, thank you. Standing committees. So, I don't think we had any that met.
Policy.
Oh, policy did. That's right. Yeah.
Policy committee met to. Shelly wanted to go over our new. She's the director, so she did a good job of going over our personnel policy. Mm-hmm. She's went over the entire book. So, that's here in the packet. It's in the back. There's a draft. So, there's a library. Policy, and Shelly, are you going to go over the changes or you want to explain what you did?
Yeah, I'll do business.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. And then we also talked about the harassment policy.
Yeah, that's a new business.
And then under the commission, you know, the Cooperative Education Commission, so Mrs. Adler from YMS referred us to talk to Mrs. Kerr, the assistant principal, when it comes to trying to coordinate any type of partnership. So hopefully we can reach out again. At this point, we're going to take it to their department heads and see if there was anything. So I haven't heard anything back yet, so I'm just going to reach out again, see if there's been any other, if there's any way we can still, try to do something here with YMS. And for YHS, we've been referred to Kathy Anderson, I think it is, for working with her when it comes to types of programs that we can try to align. Programs here that we can align with what they're teaching at the school. So hopefully we'll hear back from there. I sent an email out, and if not, I'll give another call. Let's see. So that's I guess we can go into unfinished business then.
Okay, so I just kind of want to get a direction on where you guys want to go with this. This has come up multiple meetings. This camera system of ours is original, and Elisa had done quotes. So this goes back almost a year and a half of quotes on systems. So I created a comparison chart of the four quotes that we have gotten. And I just want to get some kind of guidance, direction on if we want to entertain this, if we want to start over, what would you like done here?
I think we consolidated this as we did have an incident upstairs in the large print area that was not captured by a camera.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was this past month, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's since come back from the library, so
that's good.
Yeah.
What's that?
The patron has since come back into the library.
Okay. I think that this is something we need to move on. Because we definitely need better cameras. Otherwise, we're not catching things because either it's happening in areas that's not being covered or the system is glitching and we're not able to capture it. So I think that we definitely need to upgrade this this system. But
it sounds like it could be a liability issue too, because if something happens and we don't have a way to protect ourselves and say this,
this is what happened in the video. Yes, I agree.
My opinion, working with these guys when they came in to do their walkthrough and whatnot, Griffin, I was impressed with Griffin, the school district, when they were out, looked at Griffin's proposal. They know about Griffin, and they said it was a very reasonable offer or proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to move forward with it, I would recommend the Griffin system, because they're going to add to what was it. They were going to replace five cameras and convert the rest of them. But I also think that we need to add one in the large print area that isn't being covered, or redirect the camera so that it does capture that area. Because right now, if I remember correctly, the only one by the large print area is pointed down the stairs.
Oh, really?
So we either need to put one, and it shouldn't be that big of a deal to put one there, because that one wall backs up to the tech room.
Exactly.
So it would just be punching a cable through that wall and having on a camera right there.
Mm-hmm.
Although they said the better place to put it would be on the front wall, but it would be too difficult to get a cable to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the one that, the recent one is Griffin. That's the reason kind of this one would be longer.
Yeah, maybe, right? I think I walked through it all.
Some of them are old from when we
get the direction. So, looking at our budget, where would we pick up this cost, or would we have to break it across two items?
Well, we did find money to pay for our relief filter.
Mm-hmm.
we could use that same grant to pay for this.
But then we do what we talked about the last time, the grant on last month, where we say we're going to wait on these fire and then, you know, we do the things we need to do that can threat priority.
Yeah. I think we still have some masonry work that we need to do.
Yeah, we still have some other kind of masonry.
I think with this camera, then I'm not understanding what this, you're saying converting.
So they're going to put a converter that converts the BNC connector to a digital. In the tech, there's still going to be analog computer, analog cameras. But they'll be, because they have to swap out all the equipment we already have, so they have to convert that analog signal to a digital signal and plug it into the recorder.
So what's our current resolution?
Yeah, the current resolution will stay the same on the old cameras.
But do we have enough to identify someone?
I believe, from what he was saying, if we capture them coming in the building in key areas, we can follow through and figure out who that person was, even with the lower resolution cameras.
What about upgradability?
Well, we can, you know, let's see, his proposal was 3 megapixel cameras were like $550. Some of that cost could be picked up by not doing the encoders.
But you need the encoders.
About seven encoders. We can get a proposal to replace all the cameras.
The yellow here is all that the
green is the coverage area.
Okay, and the yellow are the cameras?
The yellow is where the cameras are placed.
Okay, and these are all the ones that they are placing?
The yellow ones are the existing cameras. Okay. The ones that don't have things that, like, they're proposing to put right in this room.
Like this green?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one.
To cover that area.
Okay, that's one that needs to be put there. Yeah. And then
there's
these three?
Four. And he's got probably about three across the front door.
Two, three, four.
There's
and then where's the other one?
Right now.
And then where, that's four cameras. Is there another one?
We have 16 existing analog cameras and four new ones, proposing four new ones on the first floor. And what do we have on the back? All four into the design there. Looks like he's going to put in 12 existing.
That's just the schedule of work.
Yeah.
So it's just the four existing. Or 12, 16 existing on the first floor, plus four new ones, and then 12 on the second floor. New ones on the second floor.
Correct.
So 16 existing.
I'm understanding this.
Yeah. And four, basically, we have 28 plus four new ones for 32 cameras. If you want to get a call from them to replace all the cameras. It's gonna bump it up over $25,000, which
then we'd have to go to bid then, right? We'd have to call it out. Yeah.
Technology can be a little quirky in how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing pulls the old, that's not like over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
So that, how do we know that's still that's too old?
If anything, it's gone hard.
We were just in contact.
What's that?
We're
patching up old stuff that's not working. It seems to be every time we're here, there's the HVAC system that we keep patching up. And if we're going to get a quote, let's get a quote for replacing all of that and starting new so that we're not going to be $20,000 this year, two years down the road, $20,000 to fix this, that, especially if the cameras aren't going to give us clear pictures. Did we ever find out who the school district uses?
They buy all the cameras from CWG, and they install them themselves. And I said we don't have anybody that can install them.
If we have this Griffin with what they're doing, is that to where if we could swap out our cameras later?
Yes.
So we could, this
the is be, the other thing it would be is we'd have to pull Ethernet cables to the cameras.
That's not in here.
That's, it is for the new cameras, but not for the existing ones, because they're going to use the same analog wire. And once we replace the cameras, I mean, we can Ryan, the guy from the school district, said, you know, do what you have to do now, and then come up with a plan, replace so many every year.
So how about this? Can we find a system where we get, so let's identify the places that we need, most of all, coverage right now. Like large print, that's an area that's not covered.
Right.
Identify those areas, and let's investigate a system that is modular. So we can.
This is modular. It can go. It can grow with our needs. We can add more cameras.
Well, that's the thing.
Yep.
If we, as long as we're not, as we can, we're we can, done. We can do it per. You know, maybe we do, you know, so many cameras per year. We
right.
budget that. And then we that way, by in 3 years maybe, we could have our entire system done.
Yes.
And it's still on the same platform. It's modular. We can buy the cards. We can put them in. We can run our cable and get new cameras and do that a piece at a time.
And that's exactly what the Griffin system is. It's modular. You can add more.
Then
I think
we should look at something where we can start buying better cameras and just if we do say we do six cameras plus the base system now cover the areas that we really need and let the other system keep going and then in the next year we do another segment of cameras and add those in plus whatever the work
so
is.
So say that. Not leave the existing system alone and just leave the old cameras connected to it and just add this.
Add this in and we'll phase the old system out.
Okay.
That, I think, is a better way to go. That way we get a new system. We're paying for it or investing in it. It's modular that we can keep adding.
But the, whatever we do now, 2 or 3 years can be old.
Well, if you're buying digital cameras, if you're buying digital cameras that are say 6-7 megapixel, that'll be okay for a while for security.
Yeah.
For us, I think that'll be fine. You know, and as long as the server everything is maintained,
mm-hmm.
you know, then we should be okay.
And he said the Avigilon system is an open source system, so it's. There is no, what do you say?
Proprietary.
There's no proprietary things to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very modular. You can expand it to whatever you need. And I think he was, the server had, there was the server on here.
Another question is that, is it a standalone system? It doesn't need connection to the internet? There's no, like,
correct.
Hacking? Possibilities into this
correct.
System. Okay, that's what I would
it
want.
Can
so,
be, but if you wanted it connected, people like Shelly can get alerts. So you can, when she's not in the building, you know, we can set up video alerts if something's going on in the building, especially if you put a camera in here.
Yeah.
ADS does that right now. We have trip sensors all over the place.
Yeah, it's
like trip.
Even the system we have now is connected to our network,
mm-hmm.
so they can look at the cameras from wherever they are. But as long as we don't poke a hole through our firewall mm-hmm. to allow inbound outbound traffic,
exactly.
it'll stay internal.
Mm-hmm.
Would we consider working with Umbrella Technology again?
Oh, sure. You know. So Shelly says no.
We can just forget them.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I mean, it just didn't seem very cooperative.
It was expensive back then.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to look at buying that system or getting a system and start investing in new cameras
sure.
and then upgrading as we go along, upgrading more cameras, we phase out the old system to the point where maybe in 3 years, that old system is gone and we have all of our new cameras in place.
All right.
That's what we need to do.
Okay. All right. And I will contact, I'll get in touch with him and have him revise this quote.
We should figure out what are the, how many cameras and what are the areas that are the most vulnerable or what we need.
Front,
and identify
the front door. Obviously, the front door is a good place or one of our key places.
Large printer.
I know we have one pointed at the drop boxes outside. We have one pointed at the front entry doors.
Okay.
I think he was looking, from the looks of this pan, this diagram, he was looking for another one on the front door.
Tara, Rosie, I agree. We need something better.
Yes.
And I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, why keep, you know...
Sure.
You know, why upgrade, use the same cameras, you know, and just have a new platform but have the same old cameras? I totally understand that.
Is our biggest issue blind spots or is it...
Resolution.
And dropped video too. There are some areas where we don't even
can't see
where the video sometimes doesn't even rise.
We have 16 terabytes, so we have well more than 30 days of video that we can capture.
Okay.
In this.
Is it something where it needs to be hardwired or connected via wireless? How does that work?
That's if it's wireless, it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
In certain areas, if we don't want to run wire, we could potentially look into that if they offer that.
Yeah. You know, most of them are hardwired.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you get the best signals from, the hardwire.
Russ, did Griffin look like the other ones at this quarter of the game?
They didn't mention anything. Well, basically, 1 year of support, that was the last line item on there, $1,500. So yeah, we probably could come up with a support contract with them as well.
Yeah, service contract would be good.
I will get in touch with them and find out.
All right, thank you. All right, on to new business, disaster plan update.
Okay, so that's in your packet. Every year, we are required to update our disaster plan, so real simple, I just went through it, changed names, phone numbers, our new vendor call list, I've updated it to our new vendors that we have, and then just gone through here and taken out some of the emergency equipment. There was transistor radio and flashlight on here, which most people have this now. So that's basically it. I added in the back a map of the library with fire alarms, emergency access, and fire extinguishers for first and second floor and meeting room. I've also added the Board of Trustees contact information and the city phone list as well. So we'll be going over this during our in-service on Friday the 24th. We'll do a walkthrough and do the procedures for fire and tornado at that.
Okay.
Just take a look at the disaster plan folder that we have at home and throw it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on disaster plan? Okay, so next is personnel policy. This is, you want to start that?
Can you explain a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts on the back of the last page of the disaster plan. I have so many pieces of paper, I'm sorry. So it's this last part of the packet. So anything in yellow is new to the policy that I drafted, and we talked about it at the policy committee and went over it, and some things are lined out that we are taking out of our current policy. So everything in yellow is going to be new into the policy. And I did not include in the packet the COVID, and that because that stayed the same. The mass contagion policy, telecommuting policy, and the staff reactivation policy, because it was just too much paper. So the only thing that's not in this policy book right now, because we'll talk about that next, is the policy against harassment.
So if everybody could peruse through what's yellow and what's crossed out, those are the changes that's being requested. Then we'll need to vote on this.
and distribution or use of weapons or explosives using and or carrying firearm in violation of the Illinois Firearm Concealed Carry Act, which prohibits the carrying of firearms in a public building or violating criminal laws on the premises of the library. Like, I'm just not... So, how do you do that?
Are you wanting to say something different?
I don't know even what I wanted to say.
Does it call out in the law no firearms in the library under that? Or is that our policy, or is that something that's called out in state law?
I think it's called out in state law.
Right, so that would be in that law then.
Firearm
concealed
carry law?
Yeah, I think
so. The violating criminal laws?
Do you have to say that?
Is that...
Yeah, it
is. Is that only while they're on the premises of the library? Or can they be fired for doing criminal activity elsewhere?
It should be on the premises. This is only for the library, so that's why this policy is for
employees.
Right, it's for employees. And
it says prohibits the carrying of firearms in a public building or violating criminal laws. I guess I would just take out in a public building. Prohibits the carrying of firearms or violating criminal laws on the premises of the
library. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Concealed carry anywhere else.
Say it again?
You can conceal carry anywhere else on a place.
But it sounds, when it says firearms in a public building or violating criminal laws on the premise of the premises of the library is a public building,
right.
so it's redundant.
Right.
So if we just take out in a public...
I just got blurry and I was confused as to what really was...
Right. So if we take out in a public building, then it still is correct. It's just for the library. It's not saying that if a...
But then it would say that you can't conceal and carry outside of a public building. Wait.
No.
Prohibits carrying of firearms or violating criminal laws.
We're just talking about the library. So City Hall would have their own policy against the same situation. So this is being a little bit too broad, with it saying a public building. Yes, we are a public building, but we're only talking about the library, which is a public building. But that makes it redundant, so,
Right, so if we just remove the in a public building.
But it's describing the Illinois Firearm Concealed Carry Act.
Right, so everything pertains back to that.
Should they put a period after that? After carrying a firearm in a public building. That's it. And then start the sentence with violence. Where did children
I mean, it reads just like concealed carry law. So how it reads now is basically you can't carry a firearm into a
public building.
Like a government building.
Right. Shelly, when you did it, is it already written that way or?
I took this from Northbrook Public Libraries.
Okay.
Policy.
Okay, so
another library
policy.
So it reads fine, actually. Because if you start pulling out the building, that means that you're saying you can't conceal carry.
Anywhere.
So you're kind of opening up a can of worms there.
So leave it as is.
Yeah, okay.
As is.
I'm fine with it.
From a previous library.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you pulled it out. It's
I see what you're
saying.
That was fine.
Yeah, okay. And we won't change a thing.
Under the section of bullying on the second page, it's the first paragraph.
that after the bullet points, it says all employees have a responsibility to stop bullying in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Where is it? Which one? From here? That's the old. Is it from here?
Second
no,
paragraph.
Mine's just not highlighted.
Oh.
I printed it out.
Oh.
It's the first paragraph after the bullet points begin. It's on
okay.
The back of page two. Mm-hmm.
All employees have a responsibility to stop bullying in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like you're putting their responsibility on the employee. I understand the point of it, but then how does the employee decide how they're going to deal with that? Like, do you need that sentence at all?
Or do you just say by reporting to the appropriate person? But yeah,
that's like, normal HR verbiage.
Right.
That you're encouraged to.
Right. But, well, first it says, though, that you're responsible
you're
for.
Responsible.
And now it says you're encouraged in the second sentence. So.
I always think about the first sentence you showed me. All employees are encouraged.
You want me to remove the first sentence?
Yeah.
Or just put all employees are encouraged.
Under staff meetings, in service meetings, so page four,
mm-hmm.
The last sentence says all staff members are expected to attend staff meetings, and it was added if possible. I mean, if it's not possible, I can't do it. You know, okay.
I guess I'm trying to figure out how to word that because we have staff members that have full-time jobs.
Oh, okay.
So they clearly that's their number one
priority. Okay.
So we do have staff meetings that several staff members will miss.
Okay.
So that's where the if possible is. But I get what you're saying.
You want
that?
As schedules allow or something.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I don't have that one better.
As schedules allow?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wasn't laughing at you, I was laughing just because Rosie and I were laughing. All right, if it's on me, if possible, sure. But yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. they should discuss the situation with their department manager or the library director. Does it matter which one or the other, or do you really want them to kind of go through a chain of command? Like, first, discuss it with your manager, and then... So I think maybe we should let them know that there is kind of... let's see, discuss the situation first with the department manager, and then with the library director, what...
If warranted?
Or if necessary, ask for the library director.
Sir, if necessary, warranted?
Or, I guess if not warranted, yeah.
Warranted, okay. Staff member with a personal grievance should discuss the situation first with their department manager or, if warranted, the library director.
Okay.
I wasn't sure you wanted my punctuation.
Vacations?
Yes.
You have 5 days, but you have a
apostrophe
after it, like it's possessive. Just 5 days.
At all of them.
With all of them, yeah.
I
I just have a quick question. Does an attorney review this? Because I was like, I don't
want that. What's
that? Legally, does an attorney review these?
I don't know.
Does an attorney review
these? A handbook?
He's reviewed the next policy we were talking about. Okay. Yes.
So, I don't know. Are there any other changes that anyone wants to make? And if so, then I make a motion that we adopt these changes to the personnel policy.
With those changes that just.
With the changes that were brought up during this meeting.
Shin? Schumacher?
Yes.
Reichstag?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, next is policy against harassment.
Okay, so the last three pages of that policy we're going to disregard. And this separate piece that is stapled is a policy that our lawyer has drafted and recommends that we adopt.
Looks like this.
It's policy prohibiting harassment, discrimination, and retaliation.
Here we go. So I guess per our lawyer, we need to adopt the resolution adopting policy prohibiting harassment, discrimination, and retaliation. So this will be resolution, our first resolution actually. We'll give it an appropriate number, like 2021-1. I don't know. So you all have this. We have to. No? Oh, sure. Oh. I have to read.
That's what I was trying to make a motion.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Okay. And procedures for reporting and investigating complaints. Whereas the Yorkville Public Library, known as the library, is a unit of local government which operates a public library, and whereas by PA 100-0554, effective November 16, 2017, the Illinois General Assembly amended the State Officials and Employees Ethics Act, known as the Ethics Act, 5 ILCS 430/1-1, etc. Whereas the provisions of PA 100-0554 relevant to the library are the following. No later than 60 days after the effective date of this amendatory act of the 100th General Assembly, each governmental unit shall adopt an ordinance or resolution establishing a policy to protect sexual prohibit sexual harassment. The policy shall include, at a minimum, 1. A prohibition on sexual harassment. 2. Details on how an individual can report an allegation of sexual harassment, including options for making a confidential report to a supervisor, ethics officer, inspector general, or the Department of Human Rights. 3. A prohibition on retaliation for reporting sexual harassment allegations, including availability of whistleblower protections under this act, the Whistleblower Act, and the Illinois Human Rights Act. And 4. The consequences of a violation of the prohibition on sexual harassment and the consequences for knowingly making a false report. Whereas the attached policy prohibiting harassment, discrimination, and retaliation is intended to comply with the requirements of the Ethics Act as amended by PA 100-0554. Now, therefore, it is resolved by the Board of Library Trustees as follows. 1. The attached policy prohibiting harassment, discrimination, and retaliation be and is adopted. 2. This resolution and the attached policy supersede resolutions and policies, if any, which conflict with this resolution and the attached policy. 3. The resolution is effective immediately. Okay. So that's that. So that's a part of
motion.
So now I make a motion that we adopt the new policy prohibiting harassment, discrimination, and retaliation, and procedures for reporting and investigating complaints.
I'll second.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Reichstech?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
And Shim?
Yes.
Okay. And there is a need to go into executive session. So this is for the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity.
I'll second.
Okay. Should we go out and
we're
getting
in trouble? Okay. Reichstech?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Morristal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
And so we'll go into executive session. We are out of executive session and we are adjourned.